Hello and welcome back to the Masonic Roundtable, a weekly program. Oh, from Masons around the world who get together to talk about Masonic news and opinions in a friendly and social manner. The thoughts and opinions expressed here are solely the opinions of the participants and do not represent any Grand Lodge statements or positions. Make sure you keep your conversations open for the public and on the level. To interact with us, well, just shout it out, because we are filmed in front of a live studio audience.
It's almost like we coaxed them.
Too much rejoicing. Yes. All right, you know me. I'm John Ruark, past master of the Patriot Lodge, number 1957 in Fairfax, Virginia. And we'll start with Mike the Intern.
Mike Hambrick here, current junior deacon and lodge education officer of Triandria Lodge number 780 in Rock Creek, Ohio, and also a member of Lakeshore Lodge number 307 in Madison, Ohio. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Mike. Who are you?
Robert Johnson, past master Waukegan Lodge 78, and current sitting secretary at Space Novum Lodge, UD 1138. In Libertyville, Illinois, and host of the Whence Came You Masonic podcast.
Yay. Like it. Good job. Jason.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Jason Richards here, past master of Vacation Lodge number 16, good old Clifton, Virginia. Take that, Nick Johnson. And member of the Colonial Lodge number 1821 in Washington, D.C.
Yay.
Your turn.
Is Juan in yet?
Yeah.
Unmute your mic.
He was having technological difficulties.
He's still muted.
Okay. No, we can't hear you.
You go boop.
Yeah, go out and come back in.
Yeah. Okay, Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I'm glad we're past that. that really sucked. Hello, everyone. Juan Sepulveda here from Orange Blossom Lodge, number 80 in sunny Kissimmee, Florida. And the host of the Winding Stairs Freemasonry Podcast. Good evening, brothers.
Yay! So, in case you couldn't tell, we are all in the same spot. This is really fantastic to be in one spot yet again. Our second time this year.
Yes.
Yeah, that's never happened before.
Yeah.
It's usually like once every 3 years.
Yeah. That's right. So, let's plot that and get a good, nice trend going here.
Yeah.
But we are here at the Mid-Atlantic Esotericon that happened in... What is this? June 15th, 2019.
Yep.
Fantastic event. I think everyone would agree.
Yeah. Okay. Now we can call it annual.
It is now the annual.
Yes, this was the inaugural.
It was not the first annual.
No, you don't do that.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore.
So what we'll probably do tonight is just talk a little bit about the experience we had and just do a quick, short review. And then we'll open it up for questions and comments. So... Jason, what was this all about today?
So this was all about making esoteric education accessible and bringing together a bunch of like-minded brethren who just want to learn about the deep philosophical aspects of Freemasonry and everything that Freemasonry has to offer as far as the ancient mystery schools. So this was a brainchild of Joe Martinez and Kevin Homan. And John and I consultants. We were non-paid consultants for it. And we've been planning this for over a year. And we had about 140 folks here and a great cadre of eight speakers and just had a lot of great fun and a great time.
So Robert, do you think that goal was achieved?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the overall scope of the presentations today, you couldn't have planned it better with how they just kind of weaved into each other. Everybody had these little points, and it's not like we talked to each other beforehand, and it was outstanding. The presentations by Jamie Paul Lamb, and we had P.D. Newman and Don McAndrews and Pierce Vaughn. Rodero, did I forget anybody?
Greg Kaminsky.
Yeah. Just amazing guys, and overall it went off. And to hear the audience...
John spoke too.
Oh yeah, didn't you? Yeah. You did.
Yes.
Yeah, the Syncretic tablet.
That's right.
All of it went just really well together. I think the audience really enjoyed including myself as an audience member as well, just the camaraderie that we all felt being part of a group of Masons who would go back to our home lodges. And one guy said he felt validated. You know, and I was just like, yeah, that's what it was about. Yes. I felt that too.
It's funny, when I go to like some of these nerdy Agile conferences, we all get together and it's usually the same people we see. And I do see a lot of familiar faces out here in the audience too, but it's like group therapy. You're like, I'm the crazy one back at my lodge, but now we can all be crazy together.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's it. Which, would you describe it as a movement, Juan?
I would. One consistent thing that I found in some of my conversations with the presenters, unfortunately, I couldn't watch the presentations live because we were recording interviews for Roadmap to Freemasonry.
Hollywood!
But I got an opportunity to speak with these brothers and hear from them that there seems to be a shift where people are embracing the fact that there is an aspect of esotericism that has been neglected for a while. And although you might have some pockets throughout the country where you have lodges that might have a few brothers that can speak about it, it doesn't seem to be as widespread as it should be. And they consistently mention that they are noticing this would not have happened 15 years ago. And the validation comment that you made, Robert, I feel it when I hear that, because you have people that might be esoterically inclined and are interested in really learning some of the deeper mysteries of life, and they might be looked at like, what are you talking about? Like, right?
It's just the ritual, Juan. It's just the ritual.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah, you're adding stuff to masonry that shouldn't be there. Like, really? Like, is that...
Did you know that George Washington was a Freemason?
Oh. Every time.
That's the trick pony. So it's good to hear that people, and to see the response of all the people that came, you can see, like, you're not alone. And the fulfillment you get by sharing these common interests with brothers here, doesn't end here. Now you go back home and you start bragging about the fact that you actually were there and you heard, you know, all these brothers talking about these things and that you weren't crazy.
To that end, right? Like, when I joined Freemasonry, I didn't find what I wanted, right? And I've been...
Complaining about it ever since?
I've called the Blue Lodge sometimes the Blue Lodge waiting room, right? Yeah. Because we sit around and we wait for brothers to be initiated, or we wait for guys to show up to lodge who haven't been there since I started or whatever. And then you want to find other guys out there that are believing some of the same things you do or studying the same things you do to connect with them. And you rarely find them. So, like, I go outside masonry for some of that. But when you come to a conference like this, it's overwhelmingly, I can't really describe the feeling, right? Like, it's mystical.
I mean, there's a lot of energy. That's the word I gave it. It's because of everyone's here. They're in it to win it. Yep. Right? They're 100% here. Come from all over the country. Yeah. And that shows.
Not just all over the country.
And other countries.
And the other country.
And the one other country.
I don't want to...
Hi, Nicholas. We love you.
I want, like, the audience members might not know either, but, like, the Midwestern Conference on Masonic Education was not that long ago. Mm-mm. There were 19 people that went.
1900?
19. So... overall, I think we had 22 people that showed up. But, like, if you think about that, the Midwest Conference on Masonic Education, funded by Grand Lodges, had, like, 20 people. And we had 147 tickets to this.
And we would have sold more, but fire code. I mean, it was...
Yeah.
We had to stop.
So you have to kind of almost stop and ask why that's an issue. Because I think... Midwest Conference on Masonic Education should be like 300, 400 people there, pack a convention center. And it was like an issue to bring out an extra table for, you know, three more of us who showed up late.
And I'll tell you, though, from my perspective on that, I didn't even know about it. The funny thing is, though, my Grand Lodge Education Committee chairman was there.
Yeah.
Mike, it's because it was not mentioned on a Masonic podcast. So you probably didn't know about it because you listened to them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. They got a great website buried in another website.
Yeah. It's on GeoCities.
It's symbolic. Yeah.
You laughed.
Right. So Mike, how was the day? How was your interactions? What was your favorite part? What did you get out of this whole experience?
My favorite part, I really liked Greg Kaminsky's presentation. That one was great. I got a lot out of that. Getting to meet other brothers that are really interested in all this, I was really, excited about that. I mean, that's the reason I really come, because even when I was back at MasonicCon a couple months ago, I didn't go and watch any of the presentations. I stayed downstairs talking to everybody, the vendors, everybody, So, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see a single program either. No, yeah. Just talking to people.
That's right.
Yeah. It's the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I come to these for, is really to talk to people and get to know mm-hmm. other Masons. So.
I think it was a great experience. What I love about this is it was an experiment. It was not done by the Attleboro mm-hmm. guys who do MasonicCon. That is something new, and a lot of blood and sweat and elbow grease went into that from Joe and Kevin and the others. And all it takes an army to pull this off. You want mm-hmm. the Worshipful Master to let us use the lodge, and just all the people behind the scenes that made this happen. It's a labor of love. And again, as an experiment, knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
They have the rainbow, served all the food, and they,
and the demo lay, too.
Yeah.
Oh, and, yeah.
They were handling all the parking this morning. It was just, clockwork. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was brilliant, really.
Brilliant. Yeah. So they are going to have another one next year, if you missed out this year. I don't know when, where, and how yet, but it was a success.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a success.
Yes. Mid-June of next year. Yeah. Date TBD.
TBD.
Because I threw out a date, and the North Carolina guys were like, yeah, we can't do that.
So would you go? Would you guys come next year? I can just say anything, and we'll have the same response.
That's right.
Be careful.
Be careful what you say. Yes. Already got some... Went to some dark places.
Just there. Let's bring it back by taking their questions.
Let's bring it back. So, yeah, now comes the interactive portion of the show. If you're not watching it live, well, then that means it's pre-recorded.
The YouTube chat is looking live, like they're alive today.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Heartbeat. So, yeah, I mean, this is just, it's fun. This is our show is your show. And that's what we love doing about this. And so let's start just talking. Let's bring up the different conversations that you have. So, from your seat, we can repeat it so this fancy technology can catch up on it. But any questions, comments, observations of the day, anything at all that's been on your mind, just raise your hand and we will get.
I know Brother Ian had a question for us that you talked to me over root beer floats earlier today about lodge centric versus candidate centric.
Ah, yeah, I can definitely do that. What are your thoughts on the current state of Masonry regarding membership as it pertains to being, in my opinion at least, currently lodge-centric as a mindset of what can you do for my lodge, as opposed to switching it and focusing on how can my lodge and Freemasonry in general meet your needs? What are your needs and your interests and your expectations, and how can Freemasonry meet those? Would there be any benefit in that, and could you see that as a potential thing to help improve either the quantity or at least the quality of new members that we're getting?
So I'm going to remind everyone that we have to repeat the question so the mice can... so I will... Yes, let me explain. No, there is no time. Let me sum up. In Masonry today, there seems to be very much a focus on the lodge and what can you as a member of the lodge do for me? And what are our thoughts on perhaps shifting that focus to the candidate and saying, what can the lodge do instead? for that candidate so that, Nicholas, you had one job, so that that candidate can you know, really have the best Masonic experience out the gates and maybe not stick around for a year before going non-payment of dues.
I know Robert has some thoughts on that.
So we look at this all the time. Like we see this thing where, what is the saying? Like you get out of masonry what you put into it.
Not that we've heard that a million times.
Yeah,
never.
HODAP was at MasonicCon.
Just get out of my head. Just what I was thinking.
What did he say? You'll get out of your candidates what you put into them.
Mm-hmm. Invest in them.
Invest in them.
Putting things into them is a different conversation.
Yeah.
You had to go there. All right. Well,
this is a kids show, by the way.
Yeah. That being the case, I got to make sure I click the clean when we upload. So that's the thing. When you have them come into a lodge meeting after they're a master mason and they sit around and get the regular stuff, you know, bills, that just can't be the case. There just has to be something more for that. And it's okay to turn it around. Like, to invest in somebody can also be to have an expectation of them.
Sure.
Like, if I say, my investment in you is, I want you to put together an entered apprentice paper for me. And then when they... So they're like, oh, I have an assignment. And then when they come back and they return that assignment, like, you've now aided them in some aspect, right? So to do those things, I think, is a small start, but it's got to be candidate focused. You know, correcting a dude during degree work.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're going to miss a word, miss a word. If you got to change a word to keep going, change a word. Don't stop. You know, don't correct somebody unless they look at you. All those things are just so distracting to the experience, I think, for anybody who's going through the degrees. You could ask, I think I posted online something along the lines of, like, I asked, who felt cognizant of their degree work and knew they were getting a crap degree? Like, I had three or four guys who were like, yeah, I could hear everything. They were joking. I heard the laughing. And just because you don't hear about, you know, that they heard you make the goat fart joke or whatever, like, doesn't mean they didn't hear it.
Yeah.
And so it's really depressing, honestly. Mm. And I just feel like I don't like making things about the money, but I had a guy say out loud, this guy paid $300 for, you know, his degrees. You think we got to treat him this way? He's like, you better give him what $300 looks like or something.
Yeah. First thing that comes to mind is like, working in the government, you know, it's not always the best top-notch customer experience, or if you're trying to use any government services. And so the analogy I use when I talk to and I consult with people is, well, what if Disney ran the post office?
Man, oh man.
Right? What if Disney ran the DMV?
It'd be sweet.
So to pull that analogy, what if Disney ensured there was a quality, candidate-centric lodge-type experience?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Look out.
I can answer that.
Right? I mean, what would that be like?
You'd have to sell tickets way in advance to get your degrees.
Yeah, you get a smart pass, which enables you to go onto the cruise ship to get your enter apprentice degree.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah. But I mean, all jokes aside, you can immediately see how much higher quality the caliber of the education you would get, the way that how tight of a ship that they would run, and there's nothing that says we shouldn't hold ourselves to as close to that standard as possible.
I think that's also something that's troublesome with brothers like all over the nation, you know, wherever. I don't know what the collective feeling is and why it's this way, but it just feels like you can't possibly have any expectation of anybody. Otherwise, you're unbrotherly.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And so if I have an expectation of a lodge officer to do something near perfect, they should be cool with that. Mm-hmm. And because we're trying to bring in the next amazing brother, the next person who's going to seemingly go through the chairs and run your lodge, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the secretary every 20 years. You don't want to be a recurrent sitting master for 5 or 6 years because, like, you gave a piss poor, performance, mm-hmm. and now they've left the lodge. And when people are like, oh, I've been the master of my lodge 10, 12 times, of course, there are some who had to do it 2 or 3 years, right, because they're helping build a line. Mm-hmm. But there are people who have had to sit those chairs and just revolve around because it's not, yeah. like, the yeah. literally, it's just not a healthy, functional lodge. Mm-hmm.
So in Lean Startup, John, you know this too, there's something that's really hammered home called a value proposition. Mm-hmm. And a value proposition is essentially what benefits are your product giving to someone, and what pains are that product relieving? And
well, you're describing a fraternity, not a company, Jason.
I'm describing a fraternity that is acting as a failing company would. Right. And it's held together with baling wire, duct tape, stubborn folks, and a little bit of guilt thrown in.
sounds like my mom.
So when bringing it back to candidate focus, that initial degree work with the candidate and that initial mentorship with that candidate is the lodge's main chance to establish Masonry's value proposition with that candidate. Mm-hmm. Why should you stick around? What is the value that you're getting out of this organization?
Right. What's your first experience at the DMV versus what's your first experience at Disney World, right?
Right.
Let's take another question for time, and we'll let Mike pick.
Adam over here, Sammy? Yeah.
So whenever I go to some of these con events and whatnot, I sort of notice that you guys are basically the only podcast that either support or attend a lot of these items. Why do you think it's important as someone who represents Masonry in the social media / podcast world? Why do you believe it's important to continue to maintain that activity in support of these types of events?
So why as podcasters and members of the kind of forward-facing Masonic education community is it important for us to take an active role in these types of conference events? Juan?
When we started our different projects, when RJ started with King U and I started working with the One East Stairs, and then we all got together to put together the Masonic Roundtable, we were trying to fill a void. We felt that there was a need for certain discussions, topics that needed to be brought to the limelight and discussed from different points of view. Now, what that has done is that it allows us to reach out a large number of brothers that, you know, a large number of brothers whose initial or continued experience in lodge might have been lacking in some regards. So our programs resonate with them, and we take what we do seriously, that we know that there's someone out there that could benefit from what we're doing. The fact that every Thursday night, John is, you know, putting the girls to sleep earlier or have his lady put them down, mm-hmm. and that I don't go to Disney again. And we're not doing different things. We're coming together to actually have these discussions, not just to fill time, but we want to actually be catalysts for change out in the Masonic community. Our hope is that when we actually get in touch with brothers like Joe who are organizing these things, or we go down to MasonicCon, we want the people that we've reached, we want to tell them, hey, listen, we know why you listen to us. Like, here's an opportunity to bring that digital experience to the real world. And fortunately, we've had the great opportunity of being able to coincide there several times as a whole group. At least we always have one or two representatives when we can, but it's part of that commitment. We're not just talking about wanting Masonry to be a fulfilling experience for brothers, because Masonry has a lot of the things that we need to make our lives better. We're just not being, we're not effectively being shown how does that look in my real life. These events, I think, give people that opportunity. And I appreciate you all supporting it by coming to them and being engaged in the process. And I think that was a good question.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. And as far as, you know, being the podcast that comes to a lot of this stuff, you know, our podcasts are geared towards this in a very big way. Now, I'm not saying the other ones aren't, but some are very different, you know. And being the one that listens to every one of them, there's a few that are, you know, they're geared very differently. I mean, they all have an education in mind for us, but some of them do it through humor. Some of them do it through just general conversation. And there's actually even one I know of that I listen to that the guys, I don't mean it when I say this, they don't care that you listen. But their whole goal was, they're making a podcast and it's for them, and they sit around and talk about masonry themselves. And yes, they're glad that you're listening, because otherwise, why send it out there? But really, the goal is to, you know, to talk to each other, you know. But you know, then there's other ones that, you know, that have been going on for a long time, that are really trying to get themselves into a groove and doing it, and doing it well.
And honestly, events like these are validation.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
it's the second time I've heard it.
I'm not saying that that we did anything to bring these about, mm-hmm. but it makes the late nights, having to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning the next day after TMR, mm-hmm. or the weekends that we have to spend researching instead of spending time with our families. It makes that all worth it, because mm-hmm. on the aggregate, we're seeing a community of folks who are as concerned about making Masonic education accessible to everyday Masons as we are. And so I love and adore events like these, because I love Masonic education and I love spreading Masonic education as far as I can.
Okay. Who in here is old enough to remember CD buffer underrun protection?
Oh, wow.
You.
You. So that whole idea is, like, I think about when there's Masons out there who are getting burned out, like podcasts in general, blogs, these events keep those Masons active instead of failing.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to these things is exactly what Jason said. It's a validation, but also it's showing those people who listen to podcasts and things week after week that we've got skin in the game and we're willing to make sacrifices just as much to be here to support the things.
That's
so
true.
It's putting our money where our mouth is.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah, it would be hypocritical not to.
Yeah.
Let's take another question.
John, before we go to the next question, I wanted to point out that Joe Martinez did a super chat for $10, and Simba on Fire also supported. We really appreciate your support
to make it
tonight.
Yes. You super chat by throwing a $10 bill up here.
Yes. There we go.
No.
That's funny.
That is hilarious.
It's off. Here it comes.
Here it comes. Boom.
That was so close, but so Joe. So we lost one. His connection dies.
His connection.
He'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Oh, look, there he is.
There we go. Yes.
Hey, yeah, get off the Netflix, woman.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, roll it up. Stick it in my ear.
Next question, and I will let Jason pick.
All right. I'm going to write back.
All right, thank you. First of all, you guys rock, Juan, Jason, John, Robert, Mike. I love the podcast, but especially the way you present yourselves as men and Masons. I like that example. Thank you for that. Now, my question would be, do you think as a Mason that you can fully understand Freemasonry without diving somewhat into the esoterics of the ritual and the craft in general? You think it's possible to understand Freemasonry without that?
So the question from Tim was, do we think it's possible to fully understand Freemasonry without at least dipping your big toe into esoterics?
Do you think you can fully understand your faith by only attending church sometimes and never opening any scripture?
Ouch.
Oh, that's a good point.
And to be honest, if you all watch some of the earlier episodes of the Masonic Roundtable, I was that Mason who said, I'm in it for the fraternal stuff. I don't care about the esoterics. I don't want to know about the esoterics.
And now you're wearing the shirt.
And now I'm...
been there, bought the t-shirt.
Now I'm wearing the shirt and reading books translated by Piers Vaughan.
And you're presenting on Noahite myths. That's and... Right.
Yeah.
All sorts of very other fun stuff. The fact of the matter is there's so much to Masonry and there's so much to discover, but the spiritual aspect of Freemasonry is paramount to the Masonic experience. And if you ignore that spiritual aspect, I think it's impossible that you can truly understand what we're about and why we go to Lodge as often as we do.
Now, I would like to add to that. I don't think that, because his question was specifically, could you understand Freemasonry? And partially, yes.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean that you can't benefit from Masonry. Like, you could go your whole life, and I've met brothers who had no interest whatsoever in the esoteric components of Masonry, but they, whenever they lost their wife due to age, they had an irreplaceable community of brothers that were there for them. They had a respite where they could go after, you know, having troubles in work or in life. So there is great pleasure and benefit that comes out of the Masonic experience. And perhaps you choose to focus on other aspects of the fraternity and still derive a great benefit that can change your life, change your circumstance.
And make you a better man.
It makes you a better man. But you, yeah, if you don't consider exploring some of that, perhaps you may be leaving some very profound and even more exponentially circumstantial experiences.
Yeah. It's like sitting down and eating, and you know, you've got the green beans and the potatoes and the steak.
You just eat
the green beans and potatoes, and you leave the steak on the table. That's, you know, I mean, but the reality is you've got what you needed.
If it's lodge steak, it's...
Oh, well, yeah.
It might not be the best, okay.
Yeah.
Funny you say that. I was get out of my head. I was just thinking, like, Freemasonry is like an all-you-can-eat buffet, so why stop at just the salad bar?
Right. Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Brisket, though.
That brisket.
Right?
Yeah.
That's good. All right. Really good question.
Sorry.
Let's see. Let's do another question for the crowd, and we will let Robert pick.
Oh, gosh. Let's go with the guy who just did the number one thing. Hmm? That's you, closer.
Okay, I had a couple of questions, but I'm going to ask one.
All right.
You know, there's a lot of trouble in the world today. And, you know, do you think it's possible that Masonic knowledge and Masonic education spreading and becoming more popular, obviously through the Masons, but even more broadly in the world, could serve as a type of medicine for our world today?
So the question was, there's the world's a scary place and the world's a hurting place. And so do we believe that Masonic education and the benefits of Masonic education and the propagation of that education through the Masons has the ability to have that positive impact and heal our very broken world? I took creative liberties with your question.
Yeah. All right.
John.
Oh,
you start that one off.
That was a tough one. You're not supposed to turn it around.
Easy peasy.
That's very tough. You know, because,
I can say
that's a really good question.
Wait,
okay, who wants it?
Can I be?
Well, I think about it. I have a better answer.
Let me be pessimistic. If if we're going to try to promote and propagate Masonry as it stands today, maybe not. Because you'll have people coming into a place where there are answers to a lot of the things. Just think about, like, going to the very basics of Masonry, some of those initial working tools that you were presented with, they're intended to help you be more patient, more temperate, more compassionate, to be more organized. And if you were to implement those things into your life, you would solve a whole bunch of stuff, right? But then we go through the beautiful degrees because I'm enamored with seeing the degrees and the variations throughout different jurisdictions. But if that's where we leave it off, and then the good men come through the fraternity and they don't actually get to put into practice those lessons, like, how does that look for the father of a two-year-old? How does, you know, keeping your passions within due bounds look for a guy who is an aggressive driver, like a guy from Puerto Rico or something?
Hypothetically speaking.
So how does that look? How can you really, like, what is the practical side of being a Mason? If that's the masonry that we're trying to propagate, that we're trying to like deliver once men sign up for masonry, of course, like, it has the potential of resolving a very substantial number of the problems that face our nation today and the world. But if men are going to come in, good men are going to come in, they're not going to feel satisfied with making the decision to spend the time in masonry as opposed to other endeavors. If they don't feel satisfied at the end, we can put billboards, we can like have Super Bowl commercials, and we're still going to have an outpour of members and no significant result at the end. Just saying.
Yeah, I think there's one comment from a past master in our area here, where he says, you know, the goal of masonry is to take over the world, one man at a time, and I find that to be a better response to the propagation of Freemasonry as we, you know, experience the world and as we interact with the world, probably has a higher impact for those who've already internalized the teachings and who are applying it daily or as close to daily as possible, instead of, you know, a large campaign, a large advertising campaign, a movement for numbers rather than, you know, what we say, it's not about quantity, it's about quality. Mm-hmm. And I think that's up for us to do. Now, again, to be, you know, on both sides, the membership is dying off. And so all the more reason for the years of life that we all have, we carry that forward.
So
good question.
So I'll give a 30 little second appendix to that, and then we can move on to the next one.
I promise.
I think the tenets of Freemasonry and the intellectualism inherent in Masonry and the values of Freemasonry have the potential to be transformative to our world. But I don't necessarily think that the world should know that it's the Freemasons who are doing it. So if you as a Mason are living out brotherly love, relief, and truth, and temperance, fortitude, prudence, and justice, and your Masonic tenets on a daily basis, you can see this in social media, just being graceful, graceful to others on social media, you might make a profound impact in someone's life, and they might not ever know that you got that from Freemasonry. And it's a balance, but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing in a lot of ways. Of course, you know, we want to, you know, attach the good that we're doing to Freemasonry to promote this fraternity that we love so much. But if we're really looking to make the world a better place, it's, you know, it's like the adage, you know, preach always, use words when necessary.
That's good.
To say what she said earlier, you talked about going to church. You don't send your kids to school and just teach them the administrative tasks of loading and unloading a book bag and checking a book in and out. Like, if there's no lessons there, then it's not going to do anybody any good. And so the same is true with, I think, the craft. If we don't have education one way or another, it's not doing anybody any good, and it's not going to change anything in the world.
I just wanted to let you know that in the chat, we have Esoteric Fitness saying that some of the answers are in a P.D. Newman presentation.
Yeah, I just muted him because he keeps asking us to bring P.D. Newman back.
Okay, I think we need to start wrapping things up. So with that, let's go to Hammy for final thoughts and shameless plugs.
So Yeah, I really enjoyed being here at EsoterraCon, at Mid-Atlantic EsoterraCon. Yeah. Looking forward to it next year. Good thing it'll be in June and not May, because I'm probably going to be in England in May, but, you know. But for my great shameless plug right now, next thing we should be doing, I mean, I know you have a Masonic Con to go to, but Camp Masonry in Toledo, Ohio, that's the next big thing for, you know, for some of us.
Yeah, three of the hosts will be there.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, look it up, I believe it's campmasonry.com, so look that up, come on out. It's a great event. And it's August 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Cool.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Juan?
I'm very happy of the privilege of being able to sit with you brothers live and do one of these finally. We've done it separately, not the whole crew, right?
Right, yeah.
But I feel privileged, of course, to be able to share this time with you brothers. I know it's been a long day, and it's been a mentally exhausting exploration into esotericism, but I've had a couple of moments today to really be there and think, man, we're really lucky to get a chance to do this kind of thing. And we are choosing to spend our time doing something that for other brothers might be of little interest, but for us is of great consequence. And I hope that you are not swayed in any direction or dissuaded from continuing to pursue your exploration of the deep areas of masonry and of life as a whole. Like, when we stop trying to learn, that's when we should be ready to give up the spirit. So,
and Juan, can you please give a thank you to the Roadmap to Freemasonry?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Very thankful for my brothers, Harry, Barry, and Homer, for the hard work. This is a lot of work, long hours, but they're passionate about sharing Freemasonry with the world. And my shameless plug, stay tuned to The Winding Stairs. We'll be releasing some great interviews with brothers, which are a prelude to Roadmap to Freemasonry, the feature-length documentary, available on Amazon Prime, right? And 2020. Thank you, brothers.
Awesome. Thanks.
Robert. Just a thanks to Brother Joe Martinez, his wife Barb, his kids for having not only me out, but also my wife got to come. And a lot of brothers last night and today got to meet my wife, and they were so cool and gracious. And my heart really goes out to all you guys for being so accepting. My wife is not a Mason, but might as well be.
She's a lot cooler than you are.
Super, 100%. I will not disagree. She gets deeper into esoteric stuff than I do sometimes. Like, I can't figure something out, and she'll drop something on me. I'm like, oh, yeah. So my thanks to my wife for coming out here also. And I don't know when this is going to air, but happy Father's Day to my ma for hooking it up with making me the man I am today, 37 years old. So, and thanks to, again, all the brothers who stayed here for this. And, man, to you guys who feel like you guys work 10 times harder than anybody I know. So, like, I love you guys.
Love you, bro.
Thanks.
Love you too.
And happy Father's Day to all of you. Yeah. And all of you guys. Any single moms out there too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's it. Thanks.
Cool. Jason.
All right. Wow. This has been a great day. Thank you so much to each and every one of you who came out. It's been a privilege getting to know every single one of you in this room. The best part about these events for me is the people. And getting to meet new people and spend time learning from new people and teaching myself a little bit of a new perspective and a different way to look at things. And that's what happens whenever I talk to a new Mason. It's just another way of viewing the world, and I find that to be so incredibly important and so incredibly crucial to my own personal and spiritual development. Thanks so much to everybody who also supports us on the show just by tuning in every week and sending us feedback and sending us topic suggestions and guest suggestions. It's an amazing motivator for us to keep doing this week after week after week, because this really is a second job for all of us. Mm-hmm. And we're not sad that that's a second job, but there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes that that the viewers just don't ever see. And so we love what we do, and the fact that you all are so gracious to us whenever we get to see you and interact with you is an amazing motivator to keep us doing this, and to realize that what we're doing is having an impact and making a difference, and just seeing Masonic education spread as much as it has over the past 5 years is just it's something that's really too amazing for me to personally express. So hope to see some of you out at Camp Masonry. And we've got some other things in the pipeline with Castle Island Virtual Lodge and some other things going on. So there's a lot that we're working on behind the scenes. Looking forward to interacting with you all a whole lot more. Of course, we'll be bringing the show to you every week. And just keep talking to us. Keep sharing your thoughts with us, because you are the reason why we're doing this.
Well, you took all the words I was going to say. All of them.
Then why are you still talking?
I know. This has been a blast. Great day. Very busy day. Mentally draining for all the right reasons. And, man, just being...
Yeah, I did.
Did you go?
Yeah, I was the first one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for looking out for me.
Well, thank you, though. Yeah.
Just see. Checking.
Yes. Yeah, see?
Victory lap.
That's right. Yeah.
Victory lap.
Yeah.
Okay.
He put on the hat. That's what it was.
All right. That's
But no, again, this has been really great. Thank you very much for watching. And... keep searching for more light.
Good night.
That was a good show.
Yeah. This is the part where we go offline, and now we can curse.
Yes, yes.
Mother
like, what the